This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're now listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. We've talked a lot about investing over the last few weeks on the back of all the excitement we're seeing in the stock market. But when we take a look at investing, one of the most important things in our lives as Malaysians is EPF, just simply because so many of us rely on it. But a lot of people don't realize that you have options with your EPF money through what is called the EPF iInvest. And to learn more about this today, I'm speaking with Joyce Chua, CEO of Success Concepts and licensed financial planner with Principal Asset Management. Joyce, it's been a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing great and I'm keeping safe. Thank you for having me today.
So Joyce, let's start with a little 101 here. What is the EPF iInvest platform?
Okay, the iInvest is an alternative to the EPF investment scheme that has been in place since 1996. So with digital transformation and keeping in touch with the younger generations, so iInvest allows EPF members to withdraw their EPF funds up to a certain amount, which is 30%, subject to their EPF basic savings, to invest in approved unit trust funds. And you can do that digitally from your iInvest EPF platform.
So this is an option, and I think you mentioned it's been around for a while, right? 96, 97, you
96.
Said?
96.
So it's not something that's new, but what is new is the way you can get access to it, right?
Absolutely.
And essentially what it allows you to do is to invest your EPF money in other funds, essentially, that may or may not perform better than EPF. But EPF's benchmark, I think, on average, is between, what, 4.5% and 6% over the last few years?
Yeah, I would say about 5% to 6%. That would be more accurate. And we all have been very happy with that kind of returns.
Yeah, it's more of that conservative benchmark, right? But there are funds in the market that perform better. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But let's talk about eligibility. Who's eligible to participate in iInvest? What are the criteria you need to meet?
Okay, it's for any EPF member who's Malaysian, and they need to be 55 years and below. And the money comes from account one of your EPF, which forms 70%, which is 70% of your total EPF monies. So it's subject to a basic savings, which is tied to your age, and the basic savings continue to increase until you're 55. So it ranges from 2,000 to 240,000 at 55. So whatever you have in account one, you deduct that basic savings, multiply by 30%, you can invest that once every 3 months. However, EPF has made some changes in that it used to be at once every 3 months, but now in that within that 3 months, you can do it at any time, so long that it's subject to that eligibility amount.
So it's 30% based on a level based on your age.
Yes,
so if it's,
that's right.
So if it's at the very bottom of the range, we're talking about 2,000 ringgit balance minimum. Is that right?
Yes, for an 18-year-old.
For an 18-year-old,
right. So it's from 18 to 55.
So 2,000 ringgit, 30% of that is 600 ringgit or something like that.
Yes, but the minimum. But then it's subject to the minimum of the fund amount investment minimum, which is 1,000.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so 600 is not eligible.
So there are a few other limitations there and constraints that you've got to pay attention to yourself, right? So we can't go through all the different age variants and different things that are right here, but this is something you want to pay attention to if you're interested in the EPF iInvest. Now, how do we go about exercising this option? Because you mentioned earlier that it's more of that the digital revolution has kind of played into this, right? That's why it's called the iInvest. A little bit of a rebranding here. So is it just log on to my account? Is it as simple as logging into my EPF I account and picking a fund?
Yes. So you need to have an I account access, and then you then need to just go to that investment portion. There are guidelines there, and you can even see your account balance. If you were to have done it before, you would see your account balance. Now, even if you have not done it through iInvest and you have done EPF through the traditional physical channels of going to a licensed financial planner or an agent, then your amounts of your investment amount would be stated on that portal. So, and the other thing is you can also do, you know, activities like restructuring, redeeming, that sort of thing on iInvest on your own. So it's about releasing that autonomy to the investor after all these years.
So basically giving EPF members a choice in how that money is allocated, right? So I'm presuming that the same rules still apply in the sense that if it's account one, I'm not going to be able to withdraw that money until I'm a certain age. I think it's 55, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about the strategy here, right? So this is going to be very, very important because with that autonomy comes more responsibility. Not all funds are created the same way, and you can't. There are certain strategies to play to keep in mind when you're investing, especially because EPF is considered by many as your nest egg, as your safety nest egg, right? Well, could you take us through some of the most important strategies? And these are for members 55 and below, right?
Yes. EPF is an integral part of one's fixed income portion and retirement nest egg, that's for sure. But of course, leaving it there for the longest time does not sometimes hedge against your personal inflation rate, depending on how your lifestyle is. So withdrawing monies from EPF requires a few things. One is that you need to understand what investing is about.
Mm-hmm.
It is not about withdrawing it today, investing it for a profit, a quick profit. Perhaps you had invested it during COVID-19 and then you would have seen like 10-15% return in quite a short while, quite a short term. And then, you know, it's like, let's take profit and let's then go back to EPF. So that's important in knowing that when you're withdrawing, it is about investing, not speculating or not trading in the stock market. And of course, there are other ways where you can also take out your EPF and invest in stocks directly. There are companies that allow you to do that, which may not be profitable.
Okay, so those are some of the things we want to pay attention to. You don't want to treat your EPF money like you do trading, like what we've seen over the last few months when it comes to rubber glove counters and healthcare counters and all of these different things. Now, what we're talking about here is the merits of this system, right? It doesn't mean it's for everybody. It doesn't mean that everyone should be taking out their money and putting it in iInvest. There is a case to leave your money with EPF, right? At the end of the day, it's a safer situation. Your capital is guaranteed. Who do you think iInvest is for, Joyce?
Well, iInvest is for those investors who, number one, as I said, understand investment. Number two, they're able to control that temptation to do too much movement. And by being swayed by profits or swayed by product recommendations. And it's for people who understand how to manage a portfolio. That's why in the older traditional way, you get licensed financial planners or you get some good unit trust agents to help you manage a portfolio. So this particular person needs to know that withdrawal of money into his portfolio is meant to grow his retirement nest egg, not for that quick profit thing. Because what I'm worried is the reaction to either losses or reaction to either profits. So that is an emotional portion of the investing life. And to me, that causes a lot of harm.
Mm-hmm.
Reacting to profits and reacting to losses in the short term. So it's good for someone who is savvy with creating a portfolio for himself, understands which asset allocation falls, which asset allocation requires which kind of asset classes. So this iInvest allows you to diversify the fixed income portion of your retirement nest egg so that in the long term, it gives you higher returns than your personal inflation rate and at retirement, having a higher nest egg. So in between, if someone actually does too much of movement and have confused speculating or trading with investing, that's where the downfall is.
Right. And actually, I did talk about investing a few weeks back with Yap Ming Hui of Whitman Independent Advisors. And that episode is called How to Invest While Managing Anxiety. So if you want to learn a bit more about how to build an investment framework, you can check out that episode. Joyce, in a little bit, we're going to get into the potential risks of iInvest as well as the sales charges and how to choose a fund. You're listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. This morning, I'm speaking with Joyce Chua, CEO of Success Concepts, and we're talking about EPF's iInvest platform, a platform that will give you a bit more autonomy over your EPF money. Joyce, we've talked about how to exercise this option, the eligibility, and who this might be for, right? Now, let's talk about how to choose a fund and the sales charges. Now, there is generally a concept that sales charges eat into your to your returns, right? So I think the sales charges here range between 0 to 0.5%, if I'm right. And annual charges depend on the fund you're in. So when it comes to all of this, these are just the, that's how the fund management business operates, right?
Yeah.
Now, the more important thing is to take a look at the returns. Now, past returns are not a guarantee of future returns. Mm-hmm. What are the most important things when picking a fund?
Before you even pick a fund, check what other investments you have, right? So you need to know what how your portfolio is has been constructed and what you can add value to that portfolio. Assuming you have no funds and this is your first time looking at it, I suggest that don't go to the other end of the swimming pool, if you know what I mean. Don't just jump into the deep end of the pool and get caught. You'd be very tempted looking at the fund returns where the aggressive ones give you higher returns versus the less aggressive ones. So how do you choose a fund is first start with what you have. You have nothing so far. Then go with a fund that teaches you what investing is about. That's the number two. And also when you are taking out from EPF, make sure you have a negative correlation with what EPF is already doing for you.
Because you want to diversify.
Yeah, you want to diversify. So if EPF is basically very fixed in terms of returns, I mean, although they're investing for you, but you're getting dividends and is a pretty safe kind of investing investment. So what we want to do with iInvest is then to have a portfolio that does not mirror what EPF is doing. So don't, you know, withdraw funds out of EPF into, say, a money market fund or a bond fund. You're just paying fees which, you know, which goes to waste. So what you should do is, what you should do is then have something that is not too aggressive at, or not too conservative. But if you are not a new investor, then you want to diversify into a fund that gives you a different geographical, say, a different market exposure. You want to go into a fund that gives you that sweetener in terms of returns, but not in the short term, because in the short term, when you're too happy getting those returns, in due time, you will see those, you will see returns that may not be that favorable. So you will have to know that when you are looking at a fund that gives you higher returns, it gives you the ups and downs. And that's where I'm so worried about iInvest, because the autonomy is with you. So that's when the too much movement in your portfolio causes harm. So in back to choosing funds, it is important that you set up a portfolio of funds. It can be a basket of funds that is not correlated to your EPF, but it's a basket of funds that changes over time because dynamics in the environment change. The investing dynamics change. For example, if you're looking at many years ago, if you're looking at Malaysian stocks, they do pretty well. But today, Malaysian stocks are very geared towards a certain industry because of what happened in,
because COVID-19, of the pandemic. Yeah,
because of the pandemic. So today, you might want to look at funds which is away from a certain geographical exposure and go into funds that give you currency diversification, go into stocks that you are not, you do not have an access, an easy access to. That's important because a lot of us, when we choose funds based on a list of past performance or a list of, you know, award-winning.
So products. How important is past performance then? Because end of the day, we are still searching for returns, right? Now, this is something to pay attention to. I guess you want to look at what obviously the last 1 year, how the fund has done, the last few years or so how it's done, and the annualized return, of course, over the whatever period you're looking at.
Yeah.
What do you think about past returns?
So it has given you, past returns give you a gauge of how they have done. I usually don't like to look at past returns. I rather look at future fundamentals of that particular fund. And therefore, back to that question about who's suitable for iInvest, it would be someone who understands fundamentals in the future. So, you know, it's someone who is astute in analyzing some trends or what's, you know, you don't have to be a fund manager to know that, but at least you are in that arena where you're reading about such things. So past performances can mislead you. Future fundamentals become that guide which helps you to pick funds.
So let me break this down a little bit and see whether, and you tell me whether I've got this right. So essentially what you got to do is whatever fund you want or whatever provider you want to go to, whatever fund manager, and there are certain funds that EPF has approved to be part of the program. Now you want to look at what's in those funds, right? So you open up the fact sheet, the fund fact sheet, look at the past returns, but also what companies or what stocks those funds are invested in.
Well, you can go to that details, but you can't really have an idea what stocks they are in except for the fact sheets that
except shows, for the top holdings.
Yeah, top 10 holdings, yeah. And sometimes it can get too much into a paralysis situation, analysis paralysis situation. So I think it's better for someone who is not as astute an investor, who's just starting out, to look at the overall general asset allocation. What do you have in EPF? It's mostly fixed income. What are you doing now? You're adding a sweetener into your retirement nest egg. And where do you want to be? Is it in Malaysia or is it out of Malaysia?
Yeah, so I think that geographical diversification is a big thing, right? Because I think EPF's majority of the assets, I think 70% as their allocation goes, is domestically domestically invested. So if you want a bit more geographical diversification, then you want to look at the different funds that provide that diversification.
That's right. And I think for a lot of people on the street, they don't have an access to overseas investment in a meaningful way. So through some of these funds that has geographical market exposure, it gives you that added advantage as someone who's just starting out in investing.
All right. And, you know, an annual management fee isn't something that we should just skip over right now. These are things that are generally considered that could eat into your portfolio over time, even if it's 1.5, depending on the fund that you invest in, right?
Yes. And yeah, it can be 1.5, it can be 1.8 sometimes.
Below 2%, generally speaking.
Yes, below 2%.
And 2% can be quite a bit if you're talking about returns of 8% or 10%, right? It's a significant amount there. So my question here then is, if you are going to be investing in funds, should you then just be looking at aggressive funds, especially if you're early in the life cycle, if you're younger, you're 25, 30 years old, should you just be looking at the aggressive funds and investing for the long term to really maximize that fee that you're paying?
Yes, and that goes back to my statement that you shouldn't be taking out money from EPF to invest in bonds, right? So even if you're not young, you are middle-aged, you need to look at more aggressive funds that help you to overcome this transaction of the annual management fees. Having said that, we need to then look at spreading these fees, the initial fees and annual management fees over time, because over time you know the equities do better. Not just being an aggressive type of fund. If it's a balanced, moderate type of fund, over the long term, you do see that kind of returns which can overcome your annual management fee. So annual management fee is and can be a detriment to investing. And I've seen a lot of people just put off investing just because the initial fees or the management fee is high in Malaysia. So they then decide that, no, I just don't want to do anything. So I think that's more detrimental to one's financial health and retirement planning activities, which is for the long term.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a wish list, I would wish that iInvest had exposure to some ETFs as well for those who really like that passive investing over the long term and all. But that's, I think, a conversation for another day. Let's end with this, Joyce. If I've got money in EPF and I'm comfortable with the 4.5% average return that we're generally getting now, should I just leave my money in EPF if I'm comfortable with those returns?
Yes, but don't be too comfortable, because if you prefer to leave your money in EPF, you need to really make sure that you have other sources of retirement funding. So make sure that you do your retirement health check. I think there is something like that on the EPF portal, or speak to a licensed financial planner. They'll help you willingly. And know that you have enough and sufficient nest egg. So it's all about, do you have enough? Is it sufficient? Is it adequate? If it is, then leave your money in EPF. I think the second thing I want to say is, if investing causes you to lose sleep, then I think it's much better that you leave your money in EPF, because having good sleep is more important than
the mental opportunity cost, I guess.
Yes,
the stress
right.
that it causes you has its own cost in different ways, right?
Exactly. The mental health stress. that we're talking about.
End of the day, with this autonomy comes responsibility, or as the Spider-Man saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility. So be very aware of what you're doing if you are looking at EPFs iInvest. And on that note, Joyce, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Roshan.
Now, remember, with all possible investment strategies, you still have to do your own homework into the assets and the strategy, keeping your risk profile and financial goals in mind. I was speaking with Joyce Chua, CEO of Success Concepts and licensed financial planner with Principal Asset Management. And you've been listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanasan for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.